Hey, welcome to the podcast of the Mission Del Rey, a spirit-filled multicultural church located in Delray Beach, Florida. You can find more about the mission and Pastor Carl Thomas at www.themissiondelray.com.
A Bible, go ahead and turn to Acts chapter 2. We are in the last message of our New Testament Christianity series. Thanks, Chris. Thanks, man. I appreciate that. Look at your neighbors. Hey, service ain't over. Come on. Come on, service ain't over. We're in Acts chapter 2. My son is special. I love you, buddy. All right, we're going to go to Acts chapter 2. Y'all there? Let me hear you say, yeah. All right, I'm going to be preaching out of the New King James Version of the Bible today. So we're going to start at Acts chapter 2, verse 40. The Word of God says, "And with many other words, the Apostle Peter, testified and exhorted them, saying, 'Be saved from this perverse generation.' Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved." Amen. 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 You know, when I read the book of Acts, and I've said this before and I'll say it again, I don't look at this as a history lesson. I don't look at it as what happened back in the day. I look at it like an owner's manual. I look at it like what's supposed to be happening now. Amen. That's a good word, Pastor. Woo, all right, good. Maybe I get the worship team back up here. They can amen me. I look at it like what's supposed to be happening now. I don't buy a car and look at the owner's manual and say, "Well, that's how they drove it in China, huh?" Well, we'll see how we do it in America, you know. I'll sit in the trunk and try to steer the spare tire and see if that works. No, you look at the thing, you say, "This is how it's supposed to work." And we have a choice of either obeying the word of God or looking at the word, developing our own theology, and viewing the word through it. I don't want to view the word through my disappointments. I don't want to view the word through what I don't see happening. I want to view the word as what I'm supposed to be achieving. You hearing me, right? And when I look at the word, I look at the early church, I see some significant things they did. And we say, why aren't we seeing the fruit that they saw in the early church? And I will, you know, might contend that we're not doing the things they did. We're not doing the things they did, so we're not seeing the fruit they saw. Now, if you're just happy to go to church, if you like happy, clappy church, and we all got the little sayings that we say to one, you know, "How you doing, brother?" "Day by day, amen, bless the Lord." If that's church for you, well, you know, this is going to be disappointing. Because that's not our goal. Our goal is not to learn sayings. Our goal is not to get a new wardrobe that we wear on Sundays. That's not the goal of the mission. That's not why God placed us here, because they have enough churches in South Florida already. We're here to obey God, to get a vision that Jesus has for South Florida, to see what it lines up in Scripture, to hear the Spirit of God, to prophesy it in South Florida, and be the church of Jesus Christ. And you can't be the church of Jesus Christ if you're not doing the things that Jesus Christ has told us to do. Pretty simple, right? That's fairly simple. So as I read these scriptures, there's some stuff that jumps out at me. And I'm going to try to get through this quickly, and we'll see what happens with that. But when I look at this in Acts chapter 2, and I look at verse 43, it just kind of jumps out at me right in the middle of this little saying. You see, Peter got up and preached at Pentecost. He preached the whole sermon. And then we get like a real brief time frame of what Pentecost and that sermonette produced. And that's what we see in the scripture we just read in those seven verses. But right here in the middle of those seven verses, kind of splitting the two, we see verse 43. And it says, then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. So Jesus died, he rose again, he hung out with folk, he went up into heaven. On Pentecost, the Spirit came, the people were baptized in the Holy Ghost, there was a massive harvest, and then the word says, fear came upon every soul. What? Why would fear come upon? That's a fairly significant phrase, right? Fear came upon every soul. You know what every means? Everybody, as they say, you know. But fear came upon every. Why? What were they doing that we're not doing that fear came upon every soul? That's kind of what I want to unpack today. If we can just kind of unpack this scripture right here, if we can just get it in our spirit, I think we'll walk away with something significant. You see, in the early church, they weren't going to church together. They weren't going to church together. In the early church, they lived as the church together. People say, you know, well, I don't go to church. I am the church. That's a lie. You aren't the church. We are the church. Christianity was never about just you and him. Yes, you need to personally come to him, receive him as Savior. Amen. But it don't stop there. If it stopped there, Jesus would still be on the cross. Hello. But it wasn't just for salvation. There's for something bigger. It's not just for me. It's for something bigger. And we meet so many people in the world. They say, well, I have a very personal relationship with Jesus. I'm like, well, praise God. So do I. Let's do that together. No. Religion's a private thing for me. It's private. Oh, yeah, I don't like to share it with other people. I'm like, well, then what's the name of your religion? Because that's not Christianity. Show me anywhere in the scripture where it says it's just me and Jesus in my room and that's it. That's no, it ain't in there. When I look at the word, when I look at the scriptures, I see family all through this thing. I see natural family. I see spiritual family. If you're struggling in your walk right now, I almost guarantee you, you're not living in fellowship with other Christians. You've divorced yourself from family. I feel so cut off from God. Have you cut off from his people? Are you cut off from his body? My finger, without my brain telling it what to do, is pointless. But at least it's alive as long as it's connected to my body. Cut it off from my body and it's not getting instruction and it's dying. Jesus said, we are the body. We preach a lot at the mission. I mean, I'm radical about grace. I'm radical about showing grace to other people. Sin is bad. Holiness, good. Living in sin, bad. Rejecting sin, good. Okay? Jesus, good. Devil, bad. Okay? We got that. All right? Everybody's with that. You hear what I'm saying before you judge me. I believe, though, that sin is awful. I'm not the judge of sin. I can tell you sin is bad. I can't tell you you're going to go to hell. Jesus will. And I can read the scriptures and I can say, well, y'all are living together in that sin, and the Bible says adulterers will not enter the kingdom. That's fairly straightforward to me. But I don't have the right to cut you off from the family because of your fallings. This makes sense? The Bible says if you come into this house and you start causing divisions, then I will deal with it. Then I will deal with it. But if you and Jesus got some issues, I'm pretty sure the Holy Ghost will work that out. The Bible tells me that it's the Holy Ghost that convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. I preach the Word of God. The Holy Ghost blesses that word with conviction. Now, this family aspect of church starts breaking down when I start taking the Holy Ghost's role. I push Jesus off the judgment seat and I sit there. I tell the Holy Ghost, no, I don't need you. I'll tell them they're in sin. They don't need to go to you. They can come to me and I'll teach them. Okay? And so So many people in the church have experienced so much judgment, they cut themselves off from the body. And that's the work of the devil. When I get closer to God and I seek Him more, I find I walk in more holiness. That's simple, right? The more I'm around other Christians, the more I want to be around Jesus. They say there's two ways to start a fire. You can work really hard to get a stick burning, or you can put that log on another fire. I want to be a church that is burning red hot for Jesus, and the wet, soaking wet logs can come in here and get dried out and on fire. But as a church, what we say is, once we know you, as soon as we see sin in your life, we're going to kick you out until you work it out. We'll judge you. We'll gossip about you. We'll talk bad about you. We'll condemn you, make you feel bad about it. Might make you sit in the back row or, you know, let you know that you're not on the in anymore. We don't have that authority. I don't have that authority. I believe the scripture tells me I'm supposed to walk in forgiveness. And forgiveness looks like something. There should be a manifestation of forgiveness. And if I'm called to walk in forgiveness, and I'm called to walk with other believers, then that should look different than the world has friendships. There should be a manifestation in the church that looks different than the world in terms of relationships. You see, there's a power of community. There's a power of when people get together and in their own one mind and one accord, that's when Pentecost happened. When people come together and they got their mind fixed on something, that's where this multiplied power, the Bible talks about one can send 1,000 to flight, but two, 10,000. Imagine 100 in one accord. Not in one entertainment venue, in one accord. If you've come to just hear the preacher, then you're going to miss 98% of what Jesus has for you today. Jesus wants you to be a part of a community of believers that are looking at Jesus, hearing His words, and then doing what He tells us to do. That's what Christianity is about. And so He says, guess what? It's not good for man to be alone, so I'll bring other people around you, and you can walk in fellowship. It's kind of funny when God said that to Adam, that God and Adam were walking together in the cool of the day. Funny. Listen to this. Adam and God walking in the cool of the day together, and God called Adam alone. All I need is me and Jesus, really, because Jesus calls that alone. And that's not good. And anything that's not good, that God calls not good, is sin. Why would God not want us to walk alone? Well, because we're supposed to be part of the body. I believe that this fear came upon every believer. The Romans were running the area at the time, right? If you know a little bit of the history. And Jesus was murdered so they could stop this new sect from rising. But now we see they're stronger than ever. And here they are, people were murdering their leader, and they had persecution, yet and still more people were being in common as one mind and one accord. And people are like, what is happening here? There's an organic movement that's happening. And we're scared of it. Because they're so in one mind, they're so in one accord, they're so in one vision, they're so following God together, they're in one tight community that the people were scared of it. They didn't know what to do with it. They feared it. But that's not really what we see in church Christianity today. It's almost like little churches in the same town are like a separate clique. My God, to get three churches together is like, you might as well, you know, walk across Lake Ida to get there, you know. Three things I want you to see from the scripture, and I'm going to let you go home. Before we get to the fear, we look at verse 42, and he says, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and prayers. Hear this. And they continued steadfastly. That means they were pressing into it. They were actively engaged in it. It didn't just happen. They made a choice and they purposed in their hearts to get together, to be taught, to eat together, to pray. You see, this, out of any other scripture, this is what Jesus died for. Jesus died that we could be saved. Amen. Hallelujah. Pay the price of sin. But Jesus' goal was that we would continue in fellowship. Let me kind of show this. If you got a Bible, you can go over to Colossians 1:24. Now, I might tip over some sacred cows today, and it is what it is. Colossians 1:24. We're going to go 24 through something. I don't know exactly what yet. It says, this is Paul now writing to the church in Colossae. Listen to this. I now rejoice in my prosperity, in that I have so much money and peace, in that all men call me blessed. Was that what your version says? No. What's Paul rejoice in? I rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ. My God, from Zion, what is he talking about? That's crazy. You hear any TV preachers talking like that? How would you like this? How would you like this? How would you like to have a pastor in another town, you know, because he started a church in your town, he had to leave, go somewhere else. And he says, you know what? I pray for you so much, and I love you so much, I'm personally bearing afflictions for you. Would you feel loved? Would you feel like you're part of somebody? I'm gonna confess something to you. When I first got in ministry, I was part of a licensing agency, and I was a licensed minister, and I started the mission, and I felt after a while, you know, you send them money every month, and I felt like all I'm doing is renting my license. I'm sending off a check, yet I can't even have a meeting with the man heading the licensing agency. I'm like, this doesn't look like biblical Christianity to me. What is this license doing for me? What is this? This isn't biblical. And the Lord brought me my pastor now, and I call him up and I say, Pastor, here's what I'm going through. And he's like, I've been praying for you in this very thing. Here's what I think you should do. I'm joined to that man. It's not a denominational thing. It's not I got the same stamp on a card in my wallet that he has. It's not that we went to the same Bible college or we dance the jig the same way. We don't preach the same. But we're joined. That's family. That's Christianity. That's how Christianity is supposed to be. And here's what Paul telling the church in Colossae. He says, listen, I'm excited. I'm happy. I'm rejoicing. I rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I'm a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God. Verse 26. The mystery, I want you to hear this. The mystery which has been hidden from the ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. He's saying, there's a mystery. There's a mystery, and I'm happy because I suffer afflictions. My body, Jesus suffered on the cross. He was beaten. He was murdered. But that wasn't enough suffering. I am completing that suffering in my flesh so that the body can partake in the mystery which was hidden for ages. What's that mystery? What is it? Verse 27. To them, God willed to make known what are the riches of his glory, of this mystery. What is it? Among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I'm suffering. I am suffering for the church to see the mystery revealed in the body. Who is that? Christ in you, the hope of glory. What is that glory? What's this glory? What is this Christ in you? Because it doesn't say the Christ in you is the glory. It's now Christ in you, the hope of glory. What does that mean? What is he talking about, Christ in me, the hope of glory? John 17, Jesus is praying. He's crying out to God. And they call it this amazing prayer time that Jesus has with the Father. He's already had the triumphal entry, and he's there suffering. And here we are on Palm Sunday, the day that the church all over the world celebrates Jesus' entry on the back of that mule. And here we are, I'm thinking about that day. And Jesus in John 17 is praying. He says, listen, in John 17, 10, he says to the Father, he says, All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Here we got that glory thing happening. Glory in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Jesus says, I'm glorified in them. Now, I'm no longer in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to you, Holy Father. Keep through your name those whom you've given me, that they may be one as we are one. He didn't say keep them so the devil is held in hell. He didn't say keep them so prosperity can come on the earth. He didn't say keep them so they can have all this knowledge and wisdom and truth, and keep them so that my name. He said, no, keep them so they can be one as we are one. That is Christ in you, the hope of glory. What is the glory of Father? What is his glory? Peter talks about it in 1 Peter 2. He says, look, once we weren't a people, but now we are the people of God. Christ in you, the hope of glory. What is that glory? Once we were separate people, but now we are the people of God. Jesus, on that final supper, he gets together and he says, listen, when you come together and you commune and you have this meal and you break bread and you drink wine, he didn't say, have a couple crumbs in a shot glass. That's not what he's talking about. He's saying, listen, when you're able to come together as different people, and you sit around this table and you're eating and you're all sharing in this food, I want you all to remember, it's my death that enabled this. He says, do this in remembrance of me. He didn't say, walk on your knees through Jerusalem. And he didn't say, go to Rome and pay money. He said, look, well, how do we remember him? People, even this weekend, they're walking and we're remembering Jesus by carrying his cross. And that's cute and all, but that's not what he told us to do. You want to remember me? Be one with my body. He said, do this in remembrance of me, that we would be one even as he and the Father are one. That's fairly profound. That's fairly profound. And that's not just a mental thing. That's not just a decision that we make. It's a lifestyle we have to live. And some people hear that and they say, well, then what we got to do is we got to move to Guyana and we'll form a compound. And well, no, that's not the plan. That's not it. But he does desire us to live as one people. There's a new identity in Christ. There's a new name. We went to I actually performed the wedding when the Paganos got married right over here. Lovely couple. We loving them. She's cheering. He didn't cheer. We'll talk about that later. I'm joking, of course. Here's what's really cool. A couple years ago, Tracy and I knew the Lord was moving us, and I specifically heard that we're supposed to start a church. And I'm starting this church, and it's just a handful of folks in my living room, and it's just me preaching. And some people thought it was a youth group, and some people thought we were part of another church, and we hear all kinds of crazy stuff. And so fast forward a couple years, and I'm at this, I just had this vision for a people who are joined together, just people who love one another. I've been in churches where there was gossip and rumors and just people kind of seeing who can get higher on the spiritual ladder than the other person, and they do that. Some people do that by getting closer to God, and other people do that by pushing other people down. And if you've been in church long enough, you know what I'm talking about. Pastor, I don't want to gossip. Then don't. Hey, thank you. I'm sorry. And I just said, I want to be in a church where people love one another, that we don't allow gossip and backbiting and just that drama. Just church should not be more drama than the world. Amen. We're supposed to be the saved ones. It's quiet on that one. I don't know. We're supposed to be the saved ones. It's a shame when your nicest friend ain't saved. That's a problem. Anyway, So he had this vision of having a house where people just come in and just have a family, a fellowship of believers, just loving God and let God do the transformation in people's lives. And we just, you know, bathe them in the word and love on folks, give good counsel, but not all try to run their lives and just love people and let God, you know, do his thing in their lives. And so here we are a couple years later, and I'm at this wedding reception, good time. We're stuck on a boat, you know, but that was all right. Pretty much. And I'm waiting there, and there's some people, there's family, there's friends, and there's church folk. I'm there, and it's getting near the end of the night, and I got to preach the next morning, and I'm like, I'm really ready to go home now. And I'm sitting there, and then I hear the DJ, you know, they're calling people for pictures. We need the Pagano family to come down. We need the Shea family to come. We need the bridesmaids. And then the DJ said this, and this about blew my world. The DJ said, "We now need the mission family to come up to take a picture." Man, I about wanted to cry right there. I'm gonna be honest with you. They didn't say we need the church friends to come. You hear what I'm saying? They didn't say that. They didn't say the church friends. They said the mission family. They didn't say the folk from the mission or the church. You know what? No, they said the mission family. I was like, man, this was just a couple folks in my living room not too long ago. Now it's the mission family. Thank you, Jesus. Once we were not a people, but are now the people of God who have obtained mercy. Man, we had not obtained mercy, but now we've obtained mercy. And so we see that. We see, number one, we see that the church in the New Testament times lived as a community. The second thing we see is in verse 45, and it says, they sold their possessions and goods and divided them. They not only lived with one another, they shared with one another. They shared with one another. And that happens many ways. We see finances. They sold everything. And I have people come and they say, you know, do you believe in the tithe? And I like how Chris Valentin says it. The only time people ask that question is if they want to give less. Do you believe in the tithe? Well, are you trying to give more or less? Because people who want to argue about the tithe just want to give less. You know, is it okay that I give 2%? You can give whatever you want. That's between you and Jesus. I mean, if you want to get biblical, you're right. The tithe isn't biblical. They gave everything. So you tell me you want to get biblical, you just sign over the car. You know, but I'm not asking you to do that. And don't do that. Please. I don't. Although I do need a car. I'm not, you know, if you got an extra. Selah. But the Bible says they sold their possessions and laid it at the apostles' feet. In church today, we have the tithe where we give 10% to the local body where it says, you know, we bring it to the storehouse. And we believe in that. But also, we give of our time. We give of our efforts. You know, and here's what breaks my heart. I got Miss Denise every week saying, "Pastor, can you please announce we need some workers and mission kids?" I said, "No, I don't want to announce that because we're a family. People are going to, you know, you see the dishes piling up in the sink. You're at the family gathering. At some point, you just wash the dishes. You know, you don't need somebody to assign you to be the dishwasher. But at some point, someone's, you know, dad's got to say, someone's got to clean the sink. Somebody's got to serve in mission kids. And if you're part of this church and your kids are in there, guess what? You're signed up. That's how that works. Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Woo, good word. I'm going to miss something. If you think you're going to miss something because you're in mission kids and you don't understand what ministry is about, I dare say I get more revelation than all y'all, and I don't ever get to sit under the preaching of the word. That's how it works. You say, "I feel called to ministry. I got to be under the preaching." Here's what you do. You sign up for mission kids, and you bring a sermon every time you're in there. I don't know what y'all do. When I served in children's ministry, I was like, I don't know what y'all used to do, but here's what we're going to do now. We got revival going to come in this group. That's a true story. I started in youth ministry, and they're like, "Okay, we're going to do this, and we're going to play Foursquare." It's like, we ain't playing Foursquare next week. Next week, folks are getting baptized in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I'm here now. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Are y'all with me here? I heard Denise back there yelling amen, I think. But we share with one another. We give of what we have with one another. If you have time, if you have giftings, if you have finances, this is what we do. And they don't all go to the church either. You know, we're supposed to be blessings to the world. Friday night, we have setup. 6:30, for those of y'all whose clock is stuck at 7:15. 6:30, we get here, we set up, and then we pray down the glory on Friday nights. You're like, I need to learn how to pray. You need to be here Friday night. That's just how that works. It says in verse 46, you know, they continued with one another. See, that's what we do in Mission Kids. That's what we do on Friday night set up. We continue with one another. We're living our lives together. We're serving together. Verse 47, last thing. He says, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. A healthy church, a healthy family grows. When you see folks are married for 10 years, they don't have any kids, you're like, what's wrong with your marriage? What's wrong? What's the problem? Because healthy things grow. Healthy families grow. Repent to the people, Mikey. Forgive him, everybody. Y'all notice Mikey gets on the podcast every week? But it's through his antics. I don't understand this. Impulse control, dog. That's what we're talking about here. Thank you, Jesus. Smiley Wiley. And the Lord added to the church daily those being saved. Now here. This is the rebuke of the commune. We're supposed to live like such a family that we're so in communion with God and with one another that we naturally want to bring more people into our family. We see hurt people and we're like, man, you ought to come be a part of my family because there's healing in my family. There's restoration in my family. There's love in my family. I see you're bound by the devil, but you know, come on in, you'll get free. Amen. We got Easter coming up next week. Come on, I'm excited about it. We're going to start a new series on Easter called Epic Win. Some people looked at the cross and thought it was a death. It was the epic win right there. If you saved, that's the win right there. Winning, right? Epic winning, right? Next week, these cards aren't going to be any good. They're invitation cards to Easter. We want to reach South Florida for Jesus. If you're hurt and you're bound and you're beat down and you're at an emotional place where you're just holding on day by day, I get it. But don't tell me you're a mature Christian and you're ready to do all these things in the church, but you're not ready to reach the world for Jesus. That's not mature. That's immature. If you're new to Christ and you don't know much and you don't got stuff worked out, you know, I'm not expecting you to lead a Bible study. You know, we tell all new believers, when you come to Christ, we got four things we tell you. You want to come to church every week, sit under the preaching of the word. Read your Bible every day. Pray in tongues. Pay your tithes. You know, just those four things will change your life. You do that for 6 months, you won't know who you were 6 months ago. And that's a good thing, by the way, because I see some of y'all. But here's what you do. Healthy families grow. You go to the people, hey, you know, like 60% of people you invite on Easter will come because they're religious and they think they have to. And they come and they get saved. It's a wonderful thing. Say, look, I don't know if you have a church or not, but my church is having an Easter service. It's going to be really cool. Be casual. Here you go. Here's an invitation. Here you go. Hey, Publix lady, here you go right there. I just wanted to invite you to church because, you know, it's going to be really great. And you can tell your mom that you went to church and she'll be happy about that. You know, you know what I mean? Like we got 5,000 of them. About 100 people here. You can take 50 or so. Amen. So I want to challenge you with one thing before I close. I'm not having an altar call today. Here's what I want to do. I want to challenge you to be community today. I want to challenge you. Don't go home by yourself today. Okay? I'm not going to call anybody to repent and stand up and say any prayer. Here's what I want you to do. I want everybody to stand up if you would, please. Mikey, come on up. We're going to do an emotional thing here. Ready? I'm going to start pulling the emotions. You ready? I have a word of knowledge. Everybody in this room will eat at some point again today. I want to challenge you, though. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to eat lunch with somebody else today. I want, if you don't have anybody to eat lunch with, I want you to just be bold for a moment and look around. Stand in the back of the room and wait. And if you're going to lunch, find somebody in the back of the room and say, hey, why don't you come to lunch with us? Let's see if we can't just be the community of Jesus today. Let's see if we can't do this thing called church today. It's wonderful that you sat under the preaching of the word, but if it's just you and Jesus for the rest of the week, we didn't accomplish anything. We got to be the church outside of Orchard View Elementary. We collectively have to be the church outside of Orchard View Elementary. The room is already saved. The room is it's effectively saved. We don't need to be here. We need to be out there. We need to be Christians. Christians, amen? Christians have relationships with other Christians. And here's the radical thing I'm asking you to do today. Have lunch with somebody you didn't come to church with today. Have lunch. Invite somebody you're not sitting next to right now, unless you don't know them, and then that'd be a good person, you know. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Is anybody getting anything out of this? Come on. I want to be the church of Jesus Christ today. I want to be the church of Jesus Christ, and I want to change South Florida. I want the fear of the Lord to come upon South Florida because we're such a united people. That signs and wonders are done through the hands of the apostles. Because of the oneness that we have. Amen? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just love you today. Wow. Wow. Hallelujah. Father, we love you today. Father, I pray that your anointing will be upon your people to spread the word today. That your glory, would be with us, Father. That your glory would be revealed through us. That we would be one. As Father, you and Jesus are one. That we would be one as you and the Father were one. That's the miracle we're asking for today. Show us your glory. Show us your glory in this place, Lord. I feel it right in this room right now. Whew. Hallelujah. I think there's something wrong with your right ankle. I don't know if it was broken or strained. Sam, are you getting anything? There's a right ankle. It might have been an accident or an injury. It might even shoot into your toe, into your second toe, a pain that shoots through. Is that anybody in the room right now? Is that anybody in here? Raise your hand if that's you. Is that anybody in here? Is that you? Praise God. Come on over. That's good, y'all. Come on. What happened to your foot? Your ankle. Okay. Praise God. That's that. Sam, you got anything else? Okay. Praise God. There's an upper back injury, like right here. And I think you tried to pick something up and you hurt your upper back. I know lots of people got lower back pain. I know if you say, somebody's got a back pain, the Lord wants to heal you. You know, you got 50 people right there. You know, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about right kind of up here, there's a pain, and you tried to pick something up and it hurts your back. If that's you, I want you to come up. Also, there's at least two or three people in here and you're just not right with God. In a room this size, it's a pretty good chance. You know, I don't have to really get a word on that one. Ow, that foot thing. Just, Father, in the name of Jesus. And here's what I want to do. We're going to, Camille, can you come up and sing real quick? We're going to sing. And if that's you, you're not right with God, I just want you to come on up and we're going to pray with you. And if you got this back thing going on, or if you need a healing for anything in your body, you can come on forward. Amen. Father, we just love you today. We pray that you would just be with us as we eat together. How's it feel now? How's it feeling? Any better? A little bit better. What, 5-10% or 50%? 5-10%? Okay. Father, in the name of Jesus, all the way, healing. Ooh, there it is. What do you feel happening? What do you feel happening right now? What's happening right now? Healing. It's getting hot? That's the Holy Ghost. That's good, right? Move your ankle around a little bit. I'm pretty sure. Just walk over there and walk back. I think you'll find out it's going to go. Just go over there. Or over there. That's good, too. Wherever's good. If you're not right with God, I want to invite you forward. And everybody close your eyes real quick. Father, we just love you in the name of Jesus, that your conviction will come upon the hearts of those who do not know you. That you would save even this week, Lord.
that.
And there's people in this room here. I know there's people in this room right now. The Lord is showing you, you need to get right with Him. And there's people, you have been wondering, should I go to Nicaragua or should I not? Father, if you send me the money, I will go. I hear the Lord saying, you go, I will send the money. We got applications in the back. Fill out the application. Paid $100 today or tomorrow. And we'll get you going. We'll begin to pray with you. I'm telling you, God is going to do a work of miracle in faith for finances for those who will commit themselves to minister. Thank you. We bless you in the name of Jesus. If you need prayer, you can come forward. Otherwise, we love you. Go to lunch. Amen. Greet somebody near you. Let's keep singing.
Show me your glory.
Feel it. Jump on it a little bit. Hold on. How's it feel?
Good.
Is it healed? Is it 100%, 90%?
100%.
Come on. That's good news right there. Steps table. David Keeley's, please don't leave without me seeing you.
Illuminates my way.
Right
into the most holy place. Is where I wanna go. Is where I wanna stay. Empty my heart of all unrighteousness.
Sergio, are you available?
Cleanse me by your